H. E. Safety's Common Sense for Perennials, an American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense for Perennials was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or talk about conspiracy theories or when the world is going to end, but we'll get you ready in case that does happen. During this show, you'll be exposed to current emergency information from government and non-government sources, a few musical artists, and we will talk about the true important information that everyone needs to know. First aid, CPR, what is a tornado, what to do during an earthquake, how to prepare a family emergency plan, a family emergency communication plan, how to hunt, fish, how to build a fire, what to do in case of power outages. The show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and a variety of guests who will come and share their expertise with us. Nowadays, everywhere you look, someone is an expert. Just because someone writes a book or runs a blog does not make them an expert. However, my credentials? Well, they're pretty extensive with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, firefighter, correctional safety manager, area safety manager, safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA field councils, and HE safety consultants. I have received numerous awards and citations throughout my career with the United States Air Force, U.S. Department of Justice, founding member of the United States Department of Homeland Security, and the U.S. Department of Labor. What does this mean? Well, it means you'll get reliable, verifiable information, not paranoia theories. I will share the experiences I have seen in the field since 1986, and I will be able to explain some of the why things are happening. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this show or find on csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to give you alternate information to get you to think about things and use your own common sense to make your decisions. We do suggest that you talk to your personal medical and legal advisors to help you make a well-rounded, informative decision. Our website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information than can be found on this program. The website is free, so stop on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can download or review any of the past shows from our website and comment on any of the news articles that you may see. Also, please show some love to our sponsors. It is because of them we are able to reach you and offer you this life-saving information. Our sponsors have been selected based on the quality of service they offer to our listening audience. They are the vendors that should be of most interest to you. Common Sense Preparedness' mission is not to sell you anything, but instead it is to save as many lives as we can. It is sad to hear about any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness with your host, my grandpa, Tim Howard.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness Weekly Situation Report for the week of May 27th, 2012. Let's start off with our environmental report. We still have an environmental alert for debris from the Japanese tsunami heading towards the U.S. and about to reach the U.S. Environmental update alert for the nuclear situation in Japan with the nuclear power plant. We also have an environmental report for air quality throughout the U.S. Our U.S. radiation monitor is looking good. Our highest background radiation levels are in Philadelphia. Our river report, we are showing 23 gauges near flood stage levels, one gauge showing minor flooding, one gauge showing moderate flooding, and we have two gauges showing major flooding up in Minnesota. Now, I am not sure if that is an inaccurate reading, but those two gauges have been showing major flooding for quite some time now. Our air quality report, we have a new link on our website that will give you daily updates on air quality throughout the U.S. And you can find us at csp, www.neworleansdb.com. New Orleans is showing some moderately poor air quality. Atlanta and Pittsburgh both are showing moderately poor air quality also. Our drought report, which has not changed since last week, Texas, Georgia, Arizona, Alabama, South Carolina, Florida, New Mexico, and Oklahoma are showing exceptional drought conditions. For more information, visit us at cspdb.com. Now, our food safety report, we have a food safety alert for some botulism in California, an alert for a recall of shiitake mushroom slices, baby spinach recall. We have also a bag salad recall. We have a barbecue safety report on our website, and a diamond pet food recall for salmonella has just expanded to include cat food also. I don't know what's going on with the diamond pet food, but they seem to be recalling everything they had. We want to let you know food safety is up to you. Cook your food to over 140 degrees and keep your food under 40 degrees when it's in the refrigerator. Also, when you're dining out, check the restaurant's last inspection from your local Board of Health department. CSPDB.com has links posted on its website for all state health departments and links to the local health departments. Now, our Homeland Security report, we still have the National Preparedness Report for 2012 from FEMA on our website. And we are still under an alert condition for a computer attack for July 9th. We also had a terrorist attempt in Chicago surrounding the G8 summit where a few people were planning on planting bombs, but they were intercepted by the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security was able to seize control of those weapons. Common Sense Preparedness Homeland Security Report also has links on its website where you can find information on the Afghan war, border wars, the latest news, and U.S. gang activities. For more information, go ahead and go to cspdb.com. Our hurricane report, well, we have our first tropical storm, Beryl, on the East Coast. It's actually a subtropical storm right now, but it's stalled off the coast of the Southeast United States. Now's the time to start preparing for hurricanes. Remember, preparedness is easy as ABC. Always be informed. Build a kit. Create a plan. Our medical report. We had a natal flu in Chicago, and what that was about was the hotel that the NATO representatives were staying at, three or four people came down with flu-like symptoms, which could have been food poisoning. That incident is still under investigation, and no further information is available on that at this time. We also have an NDM outbreak in Canada, which caused one fatality. Now, NDM originally was labeled nondescript medical. However, they are now changed the name to New Delhi Metobacterium. Not sure how to pronounce that last part. But they're trying to promote it coming out of India. What NDM stands for basically is multi-drug resistant. When you see NDM on any of these flu outbreaks, you know it's bad. Drug resistant all the way. The outbreak in Canada, well, we had one person come from the New Delhi, the India subcontinent, back to Canada, and she was misdiagnosed and infected other people. And one of the people she infected died at the hospitals. Since then, the Canadian hospitals have quarantined everybody, tested everybody that this patient exposed the NDM outbreak to, and found seven more with the disease, and have taken steps to make sure this doesn't happen again. However, it does show you that a disease like this, and in today's world where we travel all over the world, can spread fast, and local medical doctors are not prepared for this, and will often misdiagnose, enables the spread of this disease. You must be prepared for any type of medical outbreak that might cause problems to your family. Now, the influenza report in the United States is declining. The proportion of outpatient visits for influenza-like illness, or ILI, was 1%, which is way below the national baseline for this time at 2.4%. All regions report ILI well below regional-specific baseline levels. One state experienced low ILL activities. New York City and 48 states experienced minimum activity. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you that the best way to prevent the flu is to wash your hands as often as possible. Check our webpage for more flu prevention and treatments. And our new webpage, our new web address is cspdb.com. Now, our seismic report, there has been 6,853 recordable seismic events in the past 30 days. This week, we had a 6.4 in Japan, a 6.2 in the Norwegian Sea, 6.0 in Italy, and another 6.0 in Japan. Our space weather report, we have sunspot 1492 coming into view of the Earth's side and is very active with C-class solar flares and is beginning its two-week Earth's side journey and might cause us some problems in the next few weeks. Also, we have NEO Near-Earth Object 2012 KP24, which is a 26-meter asteroid coming real close to the Earth. Its close approach is on May 28th at 0.0046 astronomical units, and again on May 29th at 0.0029 astronomical units. This is closer to the Earth than the Moon is to the Earth. Now, at 26 meters, it's not a very large asteroid, and a lot of that will probably be burned up in the atmosphere if it should come into the Earth's atmosphere. What scientists are expecting is that it's going to bounce off the geomagnetic field surrounding the Earth and continue on its journey. Other things in the solar report is our X-ray levels are at a C2, our K-index is at a 2, X-class flares at 1% chance, M-class flares are at 10% chance, and our geomagnetic storms are at a 25% chance of storms. Well, that about does it for this week's Common Sense Preparedness Situation Report. If you would like any more information on this report or anything you've heard in this report, please visit us at our new website at cspdb.com. Hey, I want to take a few minutes to talk about the environmental alert that was issued by Common Sense Preparedness on May 1st in regards to the Japanese nuclear crisis. A senator from Oregon, Senator Wyden, on April 16th, he issued a press release regarding a nuclear power station in Japan that was devastated by the tsunami and the earthquake. He personally toured the facilities and issued a couple letters and a press release. You can go to csp.hesafety.org to see the press release and the letters. We have links up there. But here's the curious part. Senator Wyden reported the situation was worse than reported. This fact is not the first time the Japanese authorities or TEPCO has been accused of this since the devastating earthquake last year. The senator noted how fragile the power plant is in its current state. Any more seismic events could bring the plant into the position of releasing radioactive material into the environment. We are not over this threat yet. It is still lingering but not being talked about anymore. Because of this press release, and due to the fact that this accusation has been levied before, I'm urging all residents of the Western United States, be prepared for a radioactive event. Create plans for shelter-in-place situations or SIP situations, decontamination protocols, and home medical treatment plans for radiation sickness. Hey, we can no longer sit and wait for TEPCO or the Japanese government to properly secure the nuclear material that might cause a radioactive fallout that will be felt in the Western United States. We must begin to prepare for the event right now. Common Sense Preparedness will be doing a series of shows and reports on how to mitigate a radiological event over the next few months in order to help prepare us for the possibility of this tragic event coming to the Western U.S. shores. Now, one of the things that really got to me was, on April 26th, Common Sense Preparedness issued another environmental alert about the tsunami debris that was headed to the U.S. The debris from the massive Japanese earthquake and tsunami from last year is heading to Alaska, Hawaii, and the U.S. West Coast, and Canada, experts say. Debris is scattered over 4,000 miles in one direction and 1,000 miles in another. It's a large mass. The Japanese government has estimated that 70% of the debris sank. But, you know, CNN was reporting that nobody Nobody's certain how much of the remaining 1.5 million tons of debris is still floating in the Pacific Ocean. Buoys, a soccer ball, an unmanned fishing trolley, and other items that float on the surface of the water and can be pushed by the wind have already turned up. The problem here is that the oil and chemical drums and fuel cylinders could also wash ashore. Now, put that together with the radioactive material in that nuclear power plant that could be devastated by any kind of seismic event right now. And granted, most of that would probably sink to the ground, sink to the ocean floor bottom. But what radioactive release will there be? And it will be coming to the U.S. Now, as for the tsunami debris, NOAA says models show the outer edge of the debris is at the west coast and Alaska, and most of the debris is north of Hawaii, moving east slowly. The front edge of it has gotten here, and a whole cloud should arrive by the end of another year. NOAA said it's unlikely radioactive material from the nuclear power plant would make landfall, but there's a possibility. The U.S. Coast Guard said the Coast Guard would focus on pollution threats and potential impediments to navigation. But what about a radioactive fallout? I don't think they can handle that. It's difficult to predict just where the debris will come ashore. Due to the wind and current, we can only forecast a few days in advance, but it should be an upswing of debris on the shorelines in the next few months. On March 11, 2011, earthquake and tsunami in Japan crippled the nuclear power plant, destroyed homes, and killed thousands of people. It's not over with yet, folks. Until they can secure that material to where it will be safe in any kind of seismic event, we still have a possibility of radioactive fallout reaching the U.S. We must be prepared. We must be prepared for a radiological incident. We're only going to have a few days' notice, if any. So we must take it on ourselves and prepare for ourselves and our families in case this should happen. And like I said, HE Safety Common Sense Preparedness will be doing a series of educational series on items that we can find that will help us through any kind of incident. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on CBS Radio. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America is known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug-out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. So prepare now for the future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on CBS Radio. All right, summertime brings the pleasures of beaches, picnics, camping, and just getting away from it all. With all that excitement, it's easy for one mistake and boom, away to the hospital we go. Summertime fun is gone. Now, we remember some simple common sense items like how to travel the road safely, proper grilling instructions, swimming pool safety, and such. We can give ourselves a better chance of enjoying the whole summer and not from a wheelchair either. I want to focus on some barbecue safety. Now, during the next few months, we, as Americans, will be welcoming the upcoming summertime with outdoor funs, backyard barbecues, and pool parties. Common Sense Preparedness wanted to help make sure that we all enjoy ourselves and we do it safe while doing it. And here's some information from the USDA. Some grill safety facts. There's an average of 10 deaths, 100 injuries, and $37 million property damage per year due to grills. 50% of those fires happen between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. between the months of May and August. Keep grills at least 8 feet from your home and other combustible material to ensure proper ventilation. Charcoal must be kept dry. Wet charcoal can spontaneously combust. Bet you a lot of people didn't know that one. Always keep your charcoal and your gunpowder dry. Spare propane bottles should be stored in a safe place during grilling time and away from the grill. Keep children and pets away from the grill even after you're done grilling. Grills will maintain its heat for a long time. And here's a common sense one. Never put hot ashes in plastic or paper bags. Guess what's going to catch on fire? Use only metal containers. You'd be surprised on how many people make this mistake and cause a fire. Take it easy on the lighter fluid. I know, us guys love the lighter fluid. But fire can travel up that stream of fluid very fast. And guess who's on fire then? And finally, never use your grills or apaches on patios of apartments or condominiums. This is just unwise, and both you and your upstairs neighbors seem to lose everything involved. Now, some barbecue and food safety. Cooking outdoors was once only a summertime activity shared by families and friends. Now, more than half of Americans are saying they're cooking outdoors year-round. So whether it's the snow is blowing or the sun is shining brightly, it's important to follow some food safety guidelines to prevent harmful bacteria from multiplying and causing foodborne illness. Use some simple guidelines for grilling food safety. Now, when you're in the store, when shopping, buy cold food like meat and poultries last, right before checkout. Separate raw meat and poultry from other foods in your shopping cart, this to guard against cross-contamination, which can happen when raw meat and poultry juices drip on other foods. Now, one way to do this is put packages of raw meat and poultry into separate plastic bags. Double bag them, triple bag them if you have to. Plan to drive directly home from the grocery store. You may want to take a cooler with you with ice for perishables. Always refrigerate perishables food within 2 hours. Refrigerate it within 1 hour when the temperature is above 90 degrees. So there's no second or third stops after the grocery store. Grocery store, home. At home, place meat and poultry in the refrigerator immediately. Freeze poultry and ground meat that won't be used for 1 or 2 days. Freeze other meats within 4 to 5 days. Now, thaw and safety. Completely thaw meat and poultry before grilling so it can cook even more evenly. Use the refrigerator for slow, safe thawing or thaw sealed packages in cold water. For quicker thawing, you can microwave defrost on a defrost setting if the food can be placed immediately on the grill. Now, marinating. A marinade is a savior acidic sauce in which a food is soaked to enrich its flavor and or to tenderize it. Marinate food in the refrigerator, not on the counter. Poultry and cubed meats or stew meat can be marinated for up to 2 days. Beef, veal, pork, and lamb roast, chops, and steaks may be marinated up to 5 days. If some of the marinade is to be used as a sauce on the cooked food, reserve a portion of the marinade before putting it on raw meat and poultry. However, if the marinade used on raw meat or poultry is to be reused, make sure you let it come to a boil first to destroy any harmful bacteria. Now, when you're transporting your food, when carrying food to another location, keep it cold to minimize bacterial growth. Use an insulated cooler with sufficient ice or ice packs to keep the food at 40 degrees or below. Pack food right from the refrigerator into the cooler immediately before you're leaving your home. Now, what we're talking about here is when you're going to go camping or something like that. If you're taking the food from the kitchen to the barbecue grill, you're fine. Keep cold food cold. Keep meat and poultry refrigerated until ready to use. Only take out the meat and poultry that will immediately be placed on the grill. When using a cooler, keep it out of the direct sun by placing it in a shade or shelter. Avoid opening the lid too often, which lets cool air out and warm air in. Pack beverages in one cooler and perishables in a separate cooler. Now keep everything clean. Be sure there are plenty of clean utensils and platters. To prevent foodborne illness, don't use the same platter and utensils for raw food and cooked meat or poultry. Harmful bacteria present in raw meat and poultry and their juices can contaminate food already cooked. If you're eating away from home, find out if there's a source of clean water. If not, bring water for preparation and cleaning. Or pack clean cloths and moist towelettes for clean surfaces and hands. Now, pre-cooking. Pre-cook food partially in a microwave oven or an oven or stove is a good way to reduce grilling time. Just make sure that the food goes immediately from the preheated grill to completely cooking. Cook thoroughly. Cook food to a minimum internal temperature to destroy harmful bacteria. Meat and poultry cooked on a grill often browns very fast on the outside. Use a food thermometer to make sure the food has reached its safe minimum internal temperatures. Now, what would those temperatures be? Well, meats. Cook all raw beef, pork, lamb, and veal steaks, chops, and roast to a minimum internal temperature of 145. Ground meats should be cooked to a temperature of 160. Poultry, 165. Never partially grill meat or poultry and finish cooking later. That's a no-no. You will grow bacteria. Now, when reheating fully cooked meats, like hot dogs, grill to 165 degrees or until steaming hot. Keep hot foods hot. After cooking meat and poultry on the grill, keep it hot until served at 140 degrees or warmer. Keep cooked meats hot by setting them on the side of the grill rack, never directly over the coals, where they could be overcooked. At home, the cooked meat can be kept in the oven at approximately 200 degrees. Now, when you're serving the food, when taking the food off the grill, use a clean platter. Don't put cooked food on the same platter that held raw meat or poultry. Any harmful bacteria present in the raw meat juices could contaminate your safely cooked food. In hot weather, above 90 degrees Fahrenheit, food should never sit out more than 1 hour. Leftovers. Refrigerate any leftover promptly in shallow containers. Discard any food left out for more than 2 hours. Remember, 1 hour if the temperature is above 90 degrees. Now, as for smoking your meat, smoking is cooking food indirectly in the presence of a fire. It can be done in a covered grill if a pan of water is placed underneath the meat or poultry on the grill. And meats can be smoked in a smoker, which is an outdoor cooker specially designed for smoking foods. Smoking is done much more slowly than grilling, so less tender meats benefit from this method, and a natural smoke flavor permeates the meat. The temperature in the smoker should be maintained at 250 to 300 degrees Fahrenheit for safety. Use a food thermometer to make sure the food has reached that safe internal temperature. Pit roasting. Pit roasting is cooking meat in a large, level hole dug in the earth. A hardwood fire is built in the pit, requiring wood equal to about two and a half times the volume of the pit. The hardwood is allowed to burn until the wood reduces and the pit is full, half filled with burning coals. This can require 4 to 6 hours of burning time prior to cooking. Cooking will require 10 to 12 hours or more and is difficult to estimate. A food thermometer must be used to determine the meat's safety and doneness. There are many variables such as outdoor temperatures, the size and thickness of the meat, and how fast the coals are cooking to this type of roasting. And one last thing, you know, I've heard this before. Does grilling pose a cancer risk? You know, some studies suggest that it may be a cancer risk related to eating foods cooked by high heat, cooking techniques as grilling, frying, or broiling. You know, based on this, we've been grilling since the beginning of time, per se, open pit fires. It hasn't caused problems in the past, and I really think this is an overboard aspect of grilling. So I don't believe there is any kind of cancer risk. You have more risk of getting cancer from the sun than you do for grilling. But that is my opinion. You would have to do research on your own to find out more. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on BBS Radio. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com. Or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701. I got a chance the other day to take a look at the 7-day, 2-person emergency kit from Health Operations Team. This kit is a great basic starter kit. While it does not contain all the emergency supplies that you'll need during a prolonged disaster, it has enough supplies to ensure that you will survive any 7-day disaster. That's why it's called a basic starter kit. The first thing I noticed was the versatility of the bag. It can be used as a backpack, carried by the handle, by the shoulder strap. It even has wheels on it, so if you need to roll it, you can. The food package and water supplies make the kit kind of heavy, but these are basic requirements, and there's no way of getting around this weight. That's one of the reasons physical conditioning is a requirement in any kind of preparedness plan. Now, everything in the kit is stored in plastic Ziploc bags for weatherproofing protection. First idea I got in my head was it showed me that I can use it, this weatherproofing idea, for other items. I mean, even a radio came in a plastic bag. The kit comes with a standard first aid kit, hygiene products, rain ponchos, light sticks, rope, and even a pry bar, just to name a few items in the bag. So it has a lot of equipment in there that you do need, some basic equipment. You're going to want to modify it to your family's needs. If your family needs medication, you may want to put the family medication in there. Extra eyeglasses and such. Health Operations Team has a complete listing of all the items contained in the kit on their website at hoteam.org. Now, the price on the kit is unbeatable. $130, while all other outlets charge a minimum of $199-$200 for similar kits. Health Operations Team is offering these kits at cost with zero profit margin. What a deal. But what I want to remind you is Health Operations is a non-profit organization. If you can show them any kind of love, please do so. Even if it's a dollar, they need the help. They need the money. So they can go ahead and give these kits to people who are in need, who really need them. Now, some of the items in the kit that I would recommend to change, one would be the radio and the flashlight. Both of them are items that use batteries to operate with. I would exchange them for solar hand-cranked items. I mean, there's no reason to carry the extra weight of the batteries. There's nowhere to recharge them or anything like that. They're good for the home cache, but if you have to use it as a bug-out bag, I'd make sure I'd have solar equipment with me. Now, the coloring book and crayons, that's another thing I'd probably be changing. Now, if you have a kid that's less than 5, it's a great distraction for them. For the older kids, this is where we want to customize the bag for ourselves. We have older kids, we want to put some other stuff in there. However, it does have a deck of cards for adult distractions. Both the food packs and the water packs are edible, trust me. Now granted, I'm a very picky eater. It's not my preferred food of choice, but in an emergency, well, I know I can eat them and get my calories that I need. They are edible. Overall, I was pleased with the starter kit. The price was great, and they'll get you through any type of emergency. So I'm recommending that if you need a kit, contact hoteam.org, and they will be able to get you one. Now, they have a special price program available for disadvantaged and the elderly. So when you talk to them, let them know what you're doing and who you are, and that you heard it on the radio show, and see if you qualify for a discounted program. But even if you don't qualify, it's still a bargain at $130. So contact Health Operations Team at www.hoteam.org. Or you can call their Georgia phone number at 678-431-8914. Once again, that number is 678-431-8914. Because this is Memorial Day week, I wanted to go ahead and play this song for all the men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice protecting this country, and for those who are still out there who have written a check to include their life to protect our freedoms. Thank you. From Common Sense Preparedness, we love you all. to take this opportunity to talk about the Responder 84 ALS backpack from 511 Tactical. Now, when I first saw this backpack, it was during tornado recovery operations in Kentucky earlier this year. I was immediately impressed when I saw all the equipment the medic had in his backpack. He even had an O2 bottle, and it was secured well to the inside of the backpack. When the medic opened up this ALS 84 backpack, I noticed that he had every type of trauma equipment that he was going to need, including neck braces, an O2 kit, an AED, a smaller bag containing medicine and syringes, and another one containing bandages and clot stoppers. The medic even had a portable air splint system in his backpack. Now, they are large. There was also enough room to contain all this guy's paperwork that he needed. The medic explained to me that he had been using the backpack for a few months now, and he said it was the greatest thing since sliced bread in the Border Field Medic. He told me it was easy to carry and has large enough compartments to hold the basic equipment he needed in the field to handle almost every type of emergency he would face. Now, my idea for the bag, when I saw it, was a little bit different than his. With that much room, I figured, not only would it be able to handle my family medical kit, which is extensive, but there'd be enough room for my bug-out equipment also, reducing my overall number of bags I didn't need to carry. So when I got my Responder 84 ALS backpack from 511 Tactical, I immediately loaded it up with all the stuff I had and took it on a test run. I bugged out to one of my family's retreat points for 3 days. The bag was able to handle the heavy load I placed into it, including food rations, a water pack, solar blankets, an emergency radio, solar lantern, a pry bar, tarp, fire starter kit, military rain gear, military jacket, and my essential jerky and candy stash. I was even able to place my family emergency manual in the top layer compartment. To my surprise, after all this, I still had room. So in went the gun cleaning kit, the trauma kit, a shovel, a mess kit, a two-man tent, and my navigational pack. Then, on the outside, I attached my machete, a CPR kit, a small fishing tackle bag, and my trusty old sleeping bag. That is when I hit my first problem with the backpack. I still had room, and no more equipment. Good problem to have. So then I placed it on my back and automatically felt the weight distribution on my shoulders and my upper back. It was actually comfortable. When I got to the retreat area, I unloaded what I had needed in order to eat and set up camp. Now, after dinner, I laid down in my tent for a few minutes because, you know, I'm not as young as I once was. And I started to listen to the music of nature. The next thing I knew, it was getting extremely cold outside. So I jumped into my sleeping bag and fell right asleep. I awoke in the morning to a snow-covered campsite. I was not prepared for that. Not at all. I went to grab my field jacket and realized that my backpack was not with me in the tent. I had left it outside. Oh, boy. My three-day trek was now down to 12 hours. Now, if my jacket and my extra clothing in the backpack are wet, well, I just have to return home early. However, to my surprise, after brushing off the snow, all the contents in the bag were dry as a bone. And that included my printed family emergency plan. The ALS 84 backpack system from 511 Tactical saved the trip. I was able to get the fire starter kit out and make a hot cup of coffee. The versatility of the backpack and the amount of equipment it was able to handle made me an avid believer. It can be used as a professional medical response kit or a bug-out kit. The overall 3,941 cubic inches can handle most equipment, and the YKK zipper system on the bag is a great improvement over the old zipper system that would always get stuck and eventually break. Another item of this backpack that I found interesting was the see-through zipper mesh pockets on the inside of the bag. It is of great value when you're not sure where your items are stored. A quick glance, and you know where your equipment is without having to open up each pouch to find out where they're at. The removable kit system, blue and red bags, is useful for storing small items and keeping them separate from the rest of your gear. I was able to store a med kit in one, making it readily available if I needed it. I also found a Velcro inside the pack to be useful for attaching my Maglite holder and a few of the other belt pouches that had Velcro on them. This way I was able to have my pandemic kit secured without having to search for it. Overall, I found the Responder 84 ALS backpack to be a great addition for $249.99 because it is large enough to turn two bags into one. With each bag costing about $150 each, you end up about $50 ahead of the game. For more information on the Responder 84 ALS backpack, come visit csp.hesafety.org. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on PBS Radio. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new Emergency Information Network is on our website. Here you'll find the latest news regarding food safety, emergency news, FEMA daily reports, medical alerts, solar weather alerts, and hurricane reports. Plus you'll find links to outbreak databases, near-Earth objects, solar flares, and information from government and non-government outlets. Come join us at csp.hesafety.org and take a look at our new Emergency Information Network. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program at csp.hesafety.org. Or follow us on Google Plus and Facebook. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on PBS Radio. I want to spend a few minutes talking about travel and safety. Now, during the summertime, we're going to be traveling all over the place. Visit friends, family, or just to get away from things. I have seen so many deaths on the road. I travel a lot myself. And it's just not worth it. I mean, if we just think about things and respect the vehicle that we're in, we can get there in one piece. Pay complete attention to your driving. And remember, the vehicle that you're in, well, it's a 2-ton deadly weapon. Just as much as that gun you have in your hand. It's going to hurt you and then your family. So is that phone call or text message worth it all? Speeding. There's one thing I don't seem to understand is this. Seems like everyone's speeding nowadays. 10, 20 miles over the speed limit. Why? I don't understand. You always seem to get to the same red light as everyone else you passed. Okay. I understand, if you're traveling over 100 miles to your destination, well, you might make 15 minutes faster. But is it worth the risk to you and your family? Or your people in that car? Slow it down. Not only does this decrease your risk of having an accident, but it also saves some gas. And with today's gas prices, any gas-saving idea is a good idea. One thing that everyone seems to overlook is your tires. Take a look at your tires. And remember, this is what keeps you in control of your vehicle at all times. During the summertime, check your tires daily. A blowout at 50 or 70 miles per hour never ends nicely. Usually, it ends up with the car flipping over multiple times, and if you have a front-end blowout, you lose control. I've seen this happen. And it's happened so fast, the poor 18-year-old girl had no idea what to expect, except for hold on for dear life. She flipped the car 6 times. And we almost had 3 dead on the highway, all within 15 seconds, and all because of a bad tire. Look at it this way. When you're traveling 70 miles an hour, let's say 100 and 110 degree weather, you can assume the roadway is about 180 degrees. The friction between your tire and that 180-degree roadway, well, the rubber's going to hit approximately 300 degrees. Now, if the rubber thread is thin or has wires showing, it's not going to take long for that tire to blow out. Check the tires daily. Use the upside-down penny method real quick for a quick fix. And you know what that is. You take a Lincoln penny, place it upside down. If the tread is covering any part of Lincoln's head, then you have good a tire. If it's not covering Lincoln's head, replace that tire. Also, check for metal, any metal showing through the tire, and also check the back of the tire. Is there any objects inserted in the tire, nails, screws, etc.? All that will lead to a blowout. Also, make sure your car has a vehicle emergency kit with it. This kit must contain water, blankets, small toolkit, pocket knife, maybe a small amount of cash, something less than $10. This way you can make a phone call and buy yourself a drink. WD-40 and electronic flares. The kit should also contain some type of storageable food, granola bars, MREs, or trail mix, whatever you want in there. You know, something that will last a long time. And don't forget the formula if you're traveling with an infant. Make sure you've got them taken care of, too, in your emergency kit. The kit must be checked at least twice a year, on October 1st and May 1st. In October, prepare the kit for the winter. And in May, begin preparing for the summer. First aid kits. All vehicles should contain at least a first aid kit. And if you have young children traveling with you, this kit must contain bandages. How else are you going to take care of all those boo-boos on the road? Now, some things I would suggest for your first aid kit: bandages, gauze pads, tweezers, sanitary napkins. And that, see, the sanitary napkins are designed for blood absorption, and it can be used as a compress if all else fails. An ace bandage and a roll of duct tape. Believe it or not, duct tape was used in World War I as a bandage. It wasn't a great bandage, but it was used for that. It was designed for that. And the duct tape bandage still holds medicinal properties. And every guy knows that duct tape fixes everything anyway. If you see an auto accident, and if you're the first on the scene, stop and assist them, please. There's always something you can do to help out. If anything, you can direct traffic or maybe save the life. Think of it this way. If you were the one in the accident, wouldn't you want someone to stop and help you? Anybody to help? Now, if a bunch of other people are already helping out at the scene, there's no reason for you to stop. You will more likely be in the way. If emergency services is already there on the scene, you definitely will be in the way, so you don't need to stop. Slow down, move over, give them some room to work. If you see people stranded on the side of the road or the police on the other side of the road, and you can do it safely, please move over into the left lane. Give whoever's on the side of the road enough space, especially emergency personnel. Too many times I've seen someone not thinking, just walk up to the vehicle or walk around the vehicle into oncoming traffic. This will also ruin your summertime fun, because it's not fun looking at vehicle manslaughter charges. Motorcycles, they come out in droves during the summertime. The warmer months bring them out in droves. Be respectful. If a motorcycle is in front of you, give them at least 4 or 5 car lengths space cushion. This way, if anything happens to him, he hits a rock in the road, or he just loses his balance and dumps his bike, you still have enough room to react and not run them over. Be aware of your surroundings. I try and teach my kids all the time about this. While driving, be aware. If you know a motorcycle is around you, always check your mirrors 3 or 4 times before changing lanes. Remember, Murphy's Law dictates that when you go to change lanes, a motorcycle will almost always be there in your blind spot. These are just some common sense tips, ideas on how to drive safely and get to your destination safely. There's a lot more information out there. Check out AAA on the web, or check out our website at our new address at cspdb.com. for more information on how to travel safely. Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness. We'll be right back.
Is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Teach lessons to your daughters and sons, to fear the government, to fear your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. Don't feel safe if you are wrong. You say gun control is using both hands. Using both hands.